It's time for the most interactive radio program in Las Vegas today. It's time for Pushing the Limits with Brian Shapiro. Brian will talk sports, politics, entertainment, and anything that matters to you. Feel free to call Brian at 702-221-7283.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
Now, Pushing the Limits, here's Brian Shapiro.
What's up, everybody? A very happy Thursday to all of you out there. It is Pushing the Limits. So glad that you could all join us, of course, on the AM-FM dial, KSHP, and you can catch us on the Occupy Democrats Network, on the Washington Press Network. We ask that you subscribe for $5 with Occupy, $5 a month, just a cup of coffee, and, of course, my YouTube page, which is at PTL Radio Show, and boy, we got a jam-packed show. A lot to get to today. We're going to talk about these RNC robocalls that have been taking place at the hands of Lara Trump. This might shock some of you, but they're not really telling the truth in these robocalls. We'll talk a little bit about that. And John Bolton has told us who he's going to vote for president. It might surprise you a little bit. We'll get to that as well. And, of course, the news of O.J. Simpson passing at the age of 76. Yeah, we're going to talk about that. We got the big Mo in the house, Paul McKesky, co-hosting with me here. Mo, good to see you on a Thursday. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, man. Beautiful day out.
Springtime in Las Vegas. Doing great. 80 degrees and sunny.
That's like, right.
All is well in the world. and, you know, if you don't look outside your house.
Well, I got to start by saying this. You know, when a celebrity dies, you know, usually there's different circumstances, obviously, depending on who it is. I remember when Kobe Bryant passed away, and I don't want to compare Kobe Bryant to what took place today, but I just want to say I took that really hard. I think a lot of us did, just the circumstances of the death, his beautiful daughter and all those innocent people on that helicopter. And Kobe was just starting the second part of his life, you know, and it was so tragic, and it was emotional for me. I mean, I had interviewed Kobe numerous times here in Vegas for USA Basketball, and I loved talking to him. Such a smart, eloquent guy, and not perfect. He made his mistakes in his life, but man, he was doing so many good things to help people, especially kids. And so that was horrible, right? And then I woke up today and I heard about O.J. Simpson, and the first thing that entered my mind was good riddance. And the reason why I say that, I think, are for pretty obvious reasons. Yes, I know he was found not guilty in the double murder case, even though he was found liable for the murders of his ex-wife and Ronald Goldman. I believe O.J. Simpson was a psychopath, a man of rage, who was a wife beater. And I believe the world is a better place without O.J. Simpson. I wasn't rooting for this to happen, but I don't care. I remember watching the police chase when I was in junior high school. I think I was 12 years old.
You know where I was?
Where were you?
Hartford, Connecticut.
Where are you?
Coaching the Hellcat.
How about that? How about that? But Mo, you know, I go back and the evidence is overwhelming that, you know, he was there on the scene of the crime. His footprints, his DNA, the cut on his finger. And if he didn't kill his ex-wife and Ronald Goldman, which, by the way, I believe he did. But if he didn't, he certainly knows who did, because he was on the scene of the crime. That's 100%. And I look back on the trial, as I'm sure you watched it as well.
If they don't fit, you must acquit.
Yeah.
The problem is, they showed the picture today. They fit.
Yeah, it's true.
Pretty much.
Johnny Cochran, right? The late Johnny Cochran. Listen, he had a very good Kardashian, Cochran, Shapiro, Bailey. He had they called it the dream team. These were very skilled attorneys who did a very, very good job. They did their job. On the other side of it, you know, Paul Darden and Marcia Clark did not do a very good job, but I also think they were in trouble because of the way LAPD handled the crime scene. And Mark Furman didn't give them any help either on audio using the N-word. It didn't also help that there were some people on the jury that were going to find O.J. Simpson not guilty no matter what. A black juror who used the black power sign as he was walking outside the courtroom after the verdict. That guy was never going to find O.J. Simpson guilty. So there were a lot of things stacked up against them. But the Palace Station, if you're unfamiliar with it, you know, the Las Vegas case involving O.J., I think I'd be a little naive if I said that it wasn't a little bit of retribution by people.
Well, what were the charges on that, specific charges?
Well, O.J. Simpson did not have a gun, but kidnapping was one of the serious charges.
Right.
And his friend did have a gun. And this was orchestrated through OJ. And there was evidence of that. And those that were there testified against OJ. There were deals put in place. And yes, I believe a lot of that had to do with what people thought happened years back.
Yeah, you're talking about retribution. You got like 33 years for
correct.
That, which
correct.
Is like 15 maybe.
But correct, yeah, correct.
I agree.
Correct. Yeah. So, you know, it the bottom line is I'm not going to be shedding any tears for a disgraced, in my opinion, psychotic murderer. And that's who O.J. Simpson was. Now, I'm going to give you a story, and this happened several years ago. I had Kim Goldman on my show, and in the middle of my show, O.J. Simpson's attorney, Malcolm Laverne, called in, and that was one of the craziest moments of me doing radio. That was kind of wild. But I started talking to O.J.'s attorney, and I was offered to play golf with O.J. Simpson, and I was talking to a lot of different people about it. Some people said you should take the opportunity to do it. Others said you shouldn't.
Probably at Road Ranch, right?
Yeah.
He used to play out there a lot.
Yeah, right? Yeah, he did play out there a lot. And I said the only reason why I would do it is to try to get OJ on the radio show. That's the only reason why I would do it. Never ended up happening. And then 2 years ago,
maybe, let me ask you: like, would you have like been tempted for sure? But would you have like if you're in the same cart with them, right? You're playing golf and blah blah blah, smoking a cigar, and would you like be tempted as an interviewer to say, "Hey, did you do it?"
So I would have been tempted, but I wouldn't have done it because I wanted to get him on the show. If I get him on the show, I would have asked it in a better way. But so anyway, that never happened. And then last year, a friend of mine went to a local cigar bar, and I knew that he was really tight with OJ. And he invited me to this cigar bar, and man, I woke up that morning and I had the flu, man. I was really sick. I was not feeling well at all. And so I called my friend and I said, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to make it to the cigar bar. So he calls me, Facebook calls me later that day with O.J. Simpson.
Really?
This was last year. Wow. And O.J. saying, I hope you feel better. You know, I haven't been feeling too well myself. And I'm at first I was like kind of in awe because this is O.J. Simpson. And then I felt kind of creepy. It was like Scott Peterson was sending me a message. You know, it felt weird. You know, it's like, do I really want to be talking to this guy? You know, so... But anyway,
And like it's so double-edged sword here because we remember him before all this as just a great football player, you know, at USC and the Heisman Trophy. I actually saw it because I coach at USC,
right?
And then you know the great running back in the NFL. But then he also transcended everything by doing one of the first like. Really sports Hertz commercials, rent a car, you know, running through the airport. You know, that was before everyone's doing it now. And then, I mean, I just ripped from Airplane, the movie, you know, in there. And then such a turnaround from really admiring this guy to just what happened is just like, it's not like, oh, well, you know, he did some, it was like a 360 turn.
Yeah, it really is. And now here
or
we are.
180, I'm sorry.
180. And now
I used to do 360 dunks, so
back in the day. Back in the day I could see you do it. Of course.
180,
of course. but you know, Mo, now, you know, OJ dead at the age of 76 and he took it to his grave. Some people thought he would eventually own up. Some people thought
we don't know though, because he was surrounded by his family, right?
Yeah.
Who knows what he might have said, you know, but you know, I hope you know. The Christian in me hopes he made peace with God and asked for forgiveness and, you know, but in reality, I think he's what you said he was and probably took it to his grave.
He's psychopath.
Yeah.
And I've always felt for the Goldman family and, of course, Nicole Brown Simpson, her family, horrible tragedy, what took place years ago. People can criticize me all you want. I think the world is a better place without O.J. Simpson on the planet. Now we can move on because I'm not going to spend any more time talking about someone who I think is despicable who passed away today. Speaking of despicable, though, for different reasons, the Republican National Convention and Laura Trump have been putting out these robocalls. It went out to almost a couple hundred thousand people, I think, over in the last few days. And I want to play you this robocall because it is kind of comical. But par for the course for the Trump family. Have a listen to this.
We all know the problems. No photo IDs, unsecured ballot drop boxes, mass mailing of ballots, and voter rolls chock full of deceased people and non-citizens are just a few examples of the massive fraud that took place. If Democrats have their way, your vote could be canceled out by someone who isn't even an American citizen. And I'm sure you agree with co-chair Trump that we cannot allow the chaos and questions of the 2020 election to ever happen again.
Yeah, it's chaos. Last I checked, if you're undocumented, you can't vote in the presidential election.
Of course not.
So I'm not sure what they're talking about there. And all these dead people have voted for, but obviously this is, there's nothing factual in this robocall, but this is what Lara Trump wants. This is what the MAGAs want. Disinformation, lies about the 2020 election, fear mongering, scare tactics to try to get people to vote for Donald Trump. And again, I find it comical and pathetic at the same time.
Yeah, isn't that reversed though? If the Democrats didn't want people to count their votes, wouldn't they? Won the general election in both elections and lost it in electoral votes. You know, so they actually got more votes.
Right.
But, you know, it's so backwards. The most surprising thing about that, if I got that on my phone, you know what I'd be waiting for, right? Please buy a Bible or shoes or whatever and help us make America great again like the 1800s, like Arizona did.
Yeah. Well, isn't that another cup of
wow.
tea? Unbelievable. Yeah, so they put out this scripted robocall to voters.
Oh, here, Brian. I was thinking about this on the way in, and
yep.
you know, back when all the fake election, all that stuff was being brought out, wasn't like Trump and all his people, like they would hold up papers and say, "We have the facts here, we have the evidence, you will see it in a court of law," but it was just blank papers.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. You can't just say anything and make it true.
Well, I mean, you know, the people that are
Giuliani.
On the far right. Yeah,
Giuliani.
Yeah, that go to, for information on the 2020 election are the MyPillow idiot and Rudy Giuliani. So I think that says it all. But Lara Trump is the one that's responsible for putting these robocalls out there.
What's her title now? She is
the chair of the Republican National Committee.
How scary is that?
And this is Lara Trump, and this is her talking specifically about disinformation. Have a listen to this.
Yes, if you want to look at a family, and I'll say a man in Donald Trump, who has had nothing but misinformation and disinformation, as they like to say on the other side of the aisle, thrown at him every single day. I mean, there's never been anyone in history, I don't think, that has taken as much incoming as Donald Trump. And yet every day it feels like we are vindicated in so many spaces, because at some point, Carl, the truth ultimately comes out.
I find it very funny that Lara Trump is talking about disinformation and truth and trying to associate that truth with Donald Trump and the fact that people are throwing the disinformation at Trump when he still says he won the 2020 election. I find this to be laughable and mesmerizing to me. Mesmerizing that anybody could listen to this crazy lunatic and believe the things she says. Listen to Lara Trump talking about comparing us to Russia.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But this is the game they play. And everyone should pay attention, because it is not hyperbole to compare what's going on in this country right now to countries like, you know, Russia, like China, with state run news. That is what you get whenever you have a stranglehold on the mass media and what people are receiving in terms of information. Mm-hmm. And you're not giving them real information. You're giving them a slanted viewpoint.
Slanted viewpoint.
It's so fun. And I, you know, I'm not a political analyst or whatever, but I'm a logical person, right? And I like, you know, I like to hear both sides. So I'll turn on Fox News every once in a while just to see what they're saying about stuff. But I can't really listen that long, because it's so much fake information out there on Fox News. And it's interesting to me that someone would say, you know what, NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, NBC, all these other ones are wrong and giving us disinformation, but our Fox News is right. They're giving us the right information. It's so mind-boggling.
It is completely mind-boggling, and the entire RNC have turned into the Trump Party. The Republican Party is now the Trump Party, and they're sending out these robocalls talking about the same lies that Donald Trump has been talking about when it comes to 2020 elections. You know, Donald Trump, by the way, for a third time yesterday, his attorneys tried to delay the hush money case. That's very normal behavior for somebody who's innocent, right?
Well,
let's just keep delaying.
Well, and take the fifth. Only people that are guilty and take the fifth, and he's taken it like 400 times.
It's insane.
You know, but you know what? One thing about Trump, he's very experienced, right? I mean, he's went through 4,000 lawsuits.
That's true.
His problem is he's run out of lawyers because most won't work for him because he doesn't pay them. And the other ones are in jail that try to represent him. I was thinking about this the other day. I met Trump a long time ago, years ago in the mid-'80s. We were playing when I was with the Milwaukee Bucks. We were playing Philly in the playoffs. So we had an off day and some of us went to Atlantic City. And I don't know if it was Trump or Taj Mahal, whatever that casino was we were in. Yeah. And we ran into Trump and his then wife. And I just remember thinking, wow, she's really professional and really nice. And he's just bombastic and, you know, trying to, you know, it was some of the, you know, Philadelphia players who are famous and me with some Bucks that were famous. You know, he was trying to build himself up around us. It's like, just chill, dude. I just remember that. It sticks out in my mind.
Yeah. And you know, going back to Laura Trump, let's think about this for a minute. This is her. She is a member of Trump's family, and he puts her in this position. What would they say if Joe Biden did this? What would they say if somebody in Joe Biden's immediate family and he put to direct the head of the DNC? Republicans would be all over it. So let's remember that.
But this is what scares the heck out of me is, I keep saying that, God forbid, if he is elected, these are the pillow guys going to be in his, you know, in the White House with him. He's going to have some title. All these people are, because those are the only people that will back him till the end, no matter what happens.
Yeah, there's no question. And, you know, I had a conversation late last night with a friend of mine who is supporting Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And we had a conversation about Trump versus Biden and what's going to happen and, you know, who should Trump pick as his vice president, who's going to help him. And I don't know what's going to happen here over the next 6 months. I can tell you that, you know, we have a while still until the elections. And I'm still going to stick by my guns, for lack of a better term. And I'll put it to you this way. I still believe that there are too many reasonable Republicans out there and those in the middle. Maybe they're not huge Joe Biden fans. Maybe Joe Biden's not their first or second or third pick, but they will choose Joe Biden over Donald Trump. Now, I could be wrong on that. I could be wrong. I do think it's going to be close. I think the election in November is going to be close. It's not going to be a landslide, for lack of a better term, for either side. I think it's going to be close. I do think that Trump's legal troubles are not going to help him. Some people say, oh, this is going to help him and propel him. I'm not so sure about that. There are some things I want to see from Joe Biden, and there are some things I want to see from the Democrat Party that I'm not seeing right now. Now, Joe Biden's in a really tough spot when it comes to Israel. He's in a really difficult – you can't have it both ways. Really difficult. Now, I agree with Joe Biden when he says Hamas, terrorist group, you know, Israel has the right to defend themselves. But I also agree when he says Israel has a responsibility for the least amount of innocent civilian casualties. You know, but he's in a really tough spot because then you have those on the extreme left, maybe, that are pro-Palestine. And I say extreme left. I think most middle-grounded Democrats and Republicans are pro-Israel, and they believe Israel has the right to defend themselves. And then you have people, you know, that are so pro-Israel that they don't think they have any duty or responsibility, and Benjamin Netanyahu can do whatever the hell he wants. Now, that's, to me, that's wrong as well. Yes, Hamas started this. They're a terrorist group. I wish the Democrat Party would call out Rashida Tlaib, for example, because that has no place in politics in this country when you vote that you're okay with Hamas coming into this country. I mean, that's just absurd. That's, you know, Cori Bush and Rashida Tlaib, in my opinion, are beyond extremists and despicable. But at the same time, we can't just let Benjamin Netanyahu and Israel and the government do whatever they want with no repercussions either. So that's what I mean when I say, Mo, that Joe Biden's in a really difficult spot.
Yeah, it seems, and we need Israel in that part of the world because they're, you know, as an ally for sure. But we can all see that Israel and their leader is kind of on a revenge tour. You know, is going across the line and doing some things. You know, there's going to be casualties at war and all that stuff. But it seems to me like he's going above and beyond because they've had this battle for so many years. The problem is, and just like Biden's in a you know kind of a you know he's in a tough situation, and I can see like militarily if you're Israel. And you can think about this, right? And I don't know if it's fair or not. You know that Hamas is ingrained in hospitals and all these other places. You can't tell someone that's – when you go in there, you don't know if they're with Hamas or if they're Palestinian. You can't tell.
Right.
They look the same. So, you know, or, you know, relatively. So, really, if you think about it, we're going to give aid, right? We're going to food and yeah. aid and water
yeah.
to the Palestinians. That's great. But guess who gets it along there? The Hamas does because they're there and they probably control a lot of it. So they get it. So what you're doing is you're trying to help the people of Palestine and help them with food and water and all that stuff. But you're also making your enemy stronger at the
right.
same time. So there's that give and take. But, you know, it's just, it's a touchy situation. But I do, it seems to me that, when Hamas took over Palestine and they took over the government and all that stuff, it caused that problem. But it seems to me that, you know, Israel is taking out their aggression above and beyond what they should be doing.
Yeah, and that's – I agree. And that's – I think you can make the argument on both sides. But there's no place for people that are pro-Palestine or call themselves pro-Palestine that are chanting out death to America. There should be no place for that in this country. And that needs to be called out as well. And that's what I say. You know, this is not a good thing for anybody, especially Democrats and Joe Biden. They're put in a very difficult situation right now. It's a difficult spot to be in.
And now here's what put more gasoline on the fire, right?
Right.
When missiles hit the food workers that were there to help and hit their vehicles. And they had been communicating with Israel, here we're going here and we're going there. And, you know, I kind of felt that it was really kind of cold-blooded, you know, after it all happened. Israel and the general, whoever it was, came on and said it was a huge mistake. It's a, you know, it's a nightmare and everything. But it looked like he was saying, my bad.
Yeah.
When seven people died, oh, my bad.
Yeah.
You know, that's real. And you have the visual of the missile hole in the van, and then their logo, the World Food Group, whatever it is, right next to it. It really,
yeah, ooh. It's horrible. That was a horrible situation. Innocent loss of life. It doesn't matter whether it's in Israel or in Gaza, wherever it is. It's horrible, right? We don't want innocent loss of life. But that said, we have to remember how this started,
yeah.
And it started because Hamas butchered a bunch of innocent Israelis on October 7th. Now, 6 months have passed, more than 6 months. And innocent people are still dying. There are still hostages that Joe Biden needs to continue to work as hard as he can, which I'm sure he is.
And now Hamas is saying those 40 people you're looking for, we don't know where they are.
Yeah, well, I don't believe anything Hamas
says. No, exactly. Yeah.
I think that's a bunch of nonsense. Now, they could have been all murdered. We don't know.
Yeah.
It's very possible. This is a horrible situation. And I hope and pray that, you know, it ends at some point, but a bad spot for Joe Biden. I do want to open up.
Let's talk before we open up. Let's talk about Ukraine also. They're still at war with Russia,
correct?
Right? And we kind of put them on the back burner now. People say, well, why are we doing this? And why? Because you don't think that Biden's going to stop at Ukraine. Poland's right there. All those other borders that eventually he's going to go after, you can't say that, oh, he's just going to stop there. And, you know, I told this on the show a while ago. We do this. We've done it for years and centuries and whatever. We go and fight on other to help other people so we don't have these battles, what's happening around the world in our – it's going to be here on our grounds. In our country.
Yeah.
You know, so we will be in that situation. So, you know, people I need to realize, you know, you got, this isn't, checkers. This is chess.
Yeah. No, you're right. And, unfortunately, you know, there's a lot of, innocent people that have lost their lives that will continue to lose their lives. And it's very sad. We have a lot of problems around the world. Do I blame Joe Biden for that? Absolutely not. If you listen to Republicans, they'll blame him for the war in the Ukraine. Republicans will blame Joe Biden for what took place in Israel, which is obviously absurd. They'll blame Joe Biden for everything, but they don't want to blame even though we had a global pandemic that started under Trump, they certainly don't want to blame Trump for that. But let's blame Joe Biden for all the problems across the world. Guess what? I never blamed Donald Trump for COVID, but I did blame him for the response in this country. I blamed him for the lack of response. But I would never sit here and say, hey, it's Donald Trump's fault that, you know, COVID was created in China. Of course, I would never say that. But his response was terrible. Let's talk about the response. Let's talk about when something happens throughout the world. How does our president respond to it?
Well, it's all going to go away in the springtime when it gets warmer out.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Wait, what?
Yeah. It's going to be gone by Easter. 15 cases down to zero. And let's talk about injecting yourself with disinfectant. I do want to open up the phone lines on this, and we will right now before we take a break. That number is 702-221-7283. And again, that number, if you do want to be a part of the conversation, that number is 702-221-SAVE, 702-221-7283. I talk about immigration a lot on this show. And there are so many good people that come to this country seeking asylum. They want a better life for themselves. They want a better life for their families. And Leo over at Pioneer Air is no exception to that. He came out here with 8 members of his family through the churches from Mexico and took over this company that's been around since the 1930s called Pioneer Air, a very successful company. And with the summer months right around the corner, you want to make sure that your air conditioning system is being worked on or it's working properly. You don't want it to stop working when it's 130 degrees outside. So here's what we're going to do for our listeners. You give them a call right now at 702-703-6346. You're going to get free scheduled maintenance for up to a year. Wow. Let me give out that number one more time. No catch, ladies and gentlemen. Area code 702-703-6346. Pioneer, ask for Leo and tell him you heard about him on this show, and you're going to get free scheduled maintenance for up to a year. Give them a call at Pioneer Air again, 702-703-6346. We'll take your phone calls on the other side. We got Big Mo in the house. Yeah. You're listening to Pushing the Limits right here on KSHP.
That in itself is criminal. The fact is, once you reach income of $168,000, you don't put into Social Security anymore. Why not have, like, okay, from 168 to, say, 400,000, you don't pay any more Social Security. Once you're over 400,000, how about a 2% surcharge?
I'm 2%. For it. I'm for it. But
you'd erase all these problems.
Yeah, but the Republicans have been complaining about how minimum wage is raising, but yet they don't want to do anything to help those that are poor and those in the middle class. If you have a problem with raising minimum wage, then talk to me, Republicans, about how you're going to help the poor and middle class. Roy, I appreciate your phone call. Good call.
Thanks,
appreciate
Roy.
You.
All right.
What should we do here? Take a few more calls before we go to break. Coming up, by the way, next segment, we're going to be talking about who's John Bolton supporting for president. It might surprise you. Let's go to Nelson. Nelson's next on Pushing the Limits. Hi, Nelson.
What's going on, guys?
Hey. What's up, man? What's on your mind?
You know, the Republican Party. Well, let me back this up. I think the entire tax code needs to be scrapped, redone, more simple. Close all these damn loopholes that these people are taking advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of money is not being collected in tax revenue.
Right.
Billions of dollars, you know, and the IRS just doesn't have the funding to go after those that need to pay those taxes, you know, for the multi-billionaires. And
right.
for the little person, you know, they give the little person so much grief, and yet you have millions upon hundreds of millions of dollars not being collected from the top 1% in taxes. It's been documented.
Hey, can I ask you a question? Because I don't know the answer. And I remember, I don't know when it happened, but wasn't there a time when we had a flat rate tax back in the day? I can't remember, but I wonder how that turned out. I don't know. I'm just asking.
Yeah, I can't say for sure on that. I mean, I'll have to do some research on
what
that.
What I will say when it comes to taxes, when you look at what Bill Clinton did, and listen, I don't defend Bill Clinton with any of his personal behavior, but I will say this. He was able to reach across the aisle. He was able to help the poor and the middle class. He left with a surplus. Can you find me a Republican? It wasn't George W. Bush. No, it wasn't. It wasn't Donald Trump. Can you find me a Republican that left office with a surplus? Can you also look at the economy that Donald Trump took over? Now, I understand that COVID hurt a lot of people and it killed our economy. But you also have to put blame on Trump for the economy he left Joe Biden with his response to COVID. Why is it when you look at housing, when you look at inflation, when you look at all the parameters that we compare ourselves to for the most part to other countries, Democrats, when they win the presidency, take over a pile of excrement. And then Barack Obama, in 8 years, is able to turn the economy around and leave Trump with a really, really good economy. Now, if you want to give Trump credit for not ruining the economy before COVID, okay.
He did he did add $7 trillion to the deficit.
I was just going to bring that up.
Yeah.
Look at all the, you know, they want to say, oh, Democrats, you know, are not fiscally responsible. Listen to what Nikki Haley said, which is, by the way, I appreciate she said this, on a debate stage several months back, where she said, we've got to stop blaming Democrats. We got to blame ourselves, where the proposals are three times higher than what Democrats have put in place. Look at the money that Republicans are spending compared to Democrats in office.
And the last thing I'll say is in regards to Social Security. Now, Social Security has an income limit as to what you can be taxed on. I think it's like $150,000. And then, so if you make more than that, income that qualifies with that, you're not going to get taxed on that. Right. So I think they need to scrap, take out that limit, because, you know, the vast majority of Americans are literally surviving paycheck to paycheck.
Yep.
They're just not making enough. And the burden shouldn't be on the vast majority when you have multi-billionaires. They're making this money. Social Security can generate so much income if you take away that limit. Congress needs that.
You're right. And we need to listen to the far right when people like Mike Lee, who claim they don't want to get rid of Social Security but are caught on tape saying they want to get rid of it to his constituents. We need to listen to some of these Republicans when they say they're going to do it, because some of them do want to get rid of Social Security, Medicare, and I appreciate your phone call. Thank you so much. All right, so here's what we are going to do. We're going to take some more phone calls on the other side. We are going to take a quick break. We got Big Mo in the house. And when we come back, Mo, who's John Bolton voting for president? Well, his answer might surprise you.
You.
I'm going to give you a hint. It's not me. I'm going to give you a hint. It's not you. It's not me. And it's not Joe Biden. And it's not Donald Trump.
Bro.
Yeah, as Chris Wynn would say. So we'll give you that when we come back. I also want to tell you guys about my good friends at Jackson's Bar and Grill, located at Flamingo and Jones. Mo, I've been out there a couple times in the last week. Some of the best lunches I've ever had are at Jackson's.
Fettuccine Alfredo, baby.
Yes,
can't beat it.
Is there anything better than enjoying yourself sitting down, watching a game, playing a little video poker, and eating a wonderful lunch or dinner? The food there is fantastic. It is delicious. Tell them I sent you. Brian Slipbach, owner, and his beautiful wife, Robin, do a wonderful job.
And all the bartenders there are awesome.
They are really, really nice.
And the waitresses.
And very personable people. And it's just a fun it's my favorite gaming bar in town, hands down. Nothing even comes close to it. Please check them out. Jackson's Bar and Grill, located at Flamingo and Jones. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be back with your calls at 702-221-7283. Talk a little John Bolton when we come back. You're listening to Pushing the Limits right here on KSHP.
My name is Hunter Kane, and I'm talking with you for a call to action for our veterans in Clark County. Who is Hunter Kane? Well, I'm a decorated combat veteran, veteran community leader, and candidate for Clark County Commission. You know, no veteran has served on the commission in nearly 30 years, which is why our veteran homelessness, unemployment, and suicide rates are out of control. So here's the call to action. June 11th, vote veteran, vote Kane for Clark County. Let's rally behind someone who's been in the trenches, who knows the sacrifices, and who's committed to making a real difference. Join the campaign by searching Elect Hunter Kane on social media or go to www.electhunterkane.com.
Did you know that 99% of air conditioning issues start with airflow issues? Well, guess what? Pioneer Air has your back. They've been operating for 20 years in the industry within the Las Vegas area. Large enough to handle all your air conditioning and heating needs, but small enough to know your first name. Pioneer Air focuses on preventative care, much like wellness checks for humans. They believe in wellness checks for air conditioning and heating systems to extend the life of the system you own. So what are you waiting for? Schedule your wellness check with Pioneer Air today. The number to call is 702-831-4840. Here's the best news. Mention this ad and you'll receive 10% off. Call Pioneer Air today. 702-831-4840. That number again, 702-831-4840.
Voters want safe gun reform, ban military assault weapons, including AR-15s, have universal background checks, and red flag laws. I am Eva Chase, a candidate for Nevada State Assembly District 16, U.S. Air Force veteran, college graduate, progressive independent candidate, fully transitioned transgender woman, former Lieutenant Governor candidate for Nevada in 2022, where I received 7,212 votes in the Democratic primary. Follow me on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok. Donate to my campaign bot fund account and stay progressive.
Who would have thought there'd be so many kids playing ice hockey in the desert? Jake Helbs Hockey Foundation and the Las Vegas Ice Warriors, founded by Gina Yousafzai 8 years ago, made it possible for families who can't afford the equipment and fees. Donate today at www.hockeyforkids.org and help us continue making a difference. Join us in supporting Jake Helbs Hockey Foundation and the Las Vegas Ice Warriors, where every kid gets a shot at the starting line. Just a reminder, our website is www.hockeyforkids.org.
Residents of Las Vegas Ward 5, are you ready for a brighter future? I would like to introduce myself, Dr. Erica Smith, your people's choice for city council, with a vision for progress and the fortitude to make it happen. I am committed to moving us forward. I am not just a candidate. I am a fighter for you. With myself on the city council, you can expect a real change and a community that thrives. Vote for Dr. Erica Smith, because together we're building a better tomorrow. To learn more about me and my campaign, go to www.ericaforlasvegas.com, paid for by the Vote Dr. Smith Committee.
All right, welcome back. It is Pushing the Limits on a Thursday. Hey, programming note, the Mooch is going to be joining us tomorrow. That's right. Anthony Scaramucci is going to be joining us on the show tomorrow. I know that's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm going to be getting some life coaching live on the air tomorrow by Nicole Mitchell. So I know that's going to be fun as well. Maybe not so much fun for me, but fun for everybody else listening. So yeah, fun to get the Mooch on. The Mooch, who has openly said on this show that he is going to be campaigning with Joe Biden. So somebody who lasted, is it 12 days, 13 days as the press secretary to Donald Trump. So he'll be joining us on the show tomorrow. So Mo, John Bolton's worked in a number of different administrations. He is a staunch Republican. He has been very critical of Donald Trump, but he's also been very critical of Joe Biden. So
Didn't he call him like one of the most dangerous people to our democracy?
He did. Yeah. He did, but he's not a fan of Joe Biden either. He did an interview with Caitlin Collins on CNN yesterday, and I have a serious issue with who he's going to be voting for. Have a listen to this. Here's John Bolton in his own words, asked and said publicly for the first time who he voted for in 2020 and who he plans to vote for in 2024.
Well, I might as well say it now. I voted for Dick Cheney.
Wow.
And I'll vote for Dick Cheney again this November.
You'll write in Dick Cheney. Yeah,
that's right.
What made you write him in?
Because he was a principled Reaganite conservative, and he still is. Age is no longer a factor in American presidential politics, so his age doesn't disqualify him. And I think he'd do an immensely better job than either Trump or Biden.
I got to tell you, I am so disappointed with that answer. First of all, when you talk about all the waterboarding that took place, which a lot of people blame Dick Cheney for, you talk about the war in Iraq. A lot of people, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but let's be honest here, with Halliburton and no weapons of mass destruction, so many people died, so many innocent civilians died, American soldiers died. Why? We found Saddam Hussein with a pellet gun and a candy bar in a hole in the ground. He was not a threat to this country. Am I glad that Saddam Hussein is no longer alive? Of course I am. Evil dictator. But he was not a threat to this country. We should have never gone to war in Iraq. And they used 9/11 as an excuse. And I believe Dick Cheney and those like him profited tremendously off this war. It was a complete debacle. And the fact that John Bolton, with his experience, would sit here and say, and by the way, Dick Cheney, he's writing him in. Dick Cheney doesn't want to be president. The fact that he would write him in, you're giving the opportunity for Donald Trump to win.
Why won't you write in Liz Cheney?
So she asked that question. She asked that question as a follow-up.
Yeah.
And he said, well, I like Liz Cheney. I respect her. But he also said, I believe in his answer, that maybe down the road she could be a great president. But right now, he's going with Dick Cheney. I just find this to be absurd. It's absurd.
Yeah, and the problem, you know, you're not a fan of Biden, but, you know, so you don't want to vote for Trump. So you're going to put, you know, back in the day when they had 15 rounds in the NBA draft, teams used to draft Mickey Mouse, Superman, just because to write in a name.
Yep.
But in this situation, if you're writing in someone else's name, you're taking a vote away from Biden.
Yeah.
So, and you're helping Trump. So, you know, that's a scary thought.
Yeah, it is. I'm really listen, I like the fact that John Bolton at least calls out Donald Trump for who he is. I appreciate that about Mr. Bolton. Obviously, he's a very capable, intelligent, experienced man. But the fact that he's going to be voting for Dick Cheney, he knows that as a write-in, Dick Cheney doesn't want to be president. You know it's between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. Stop it with this RFK Jr. stuff. You know it's between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. You're telling me you wouldn't vote for Joe Biden over Donald Trump when you know who Donald Trump is. You've said who he is and the threat.
You've been in the room.
Yeah, so that's quite shocking to me. I want to play you some audio of something that is a little more lighthearted. We've been talking about a lot of serious topics here on the show, and I do make fun of those on Fox News on occasion, the Jesse Waters of the world and the Sean Hannitys of the world and the evil racist witch and Laura Ingraham. So I want you to listen to
Kaylee. Don't sugarcoat it.
Yeah, I'll try not to. Kaylee McEnany, who is Donald Trump's former press secretary, as I mentioned, we have the mooch on tomorrow. So Kaylee McEnany is trying to make the case of who's the real racist here. Look at all the black people that are hanging around Donald Trump at his big event at Mar-a-Lago. So I want you to listen to this, and then I want you to listen to somebody who happens to be black, okay? I'm talking about Ms. Faulkner, who happens to be a black conservative, staunch conservative, who is an anchor on Fox News. And listen to what she says and listen to what Kaylee McEnany says when she names some of these people. Think about it.
The talking points were lies. I mean, who was the racist that was there? The people at the fundraiser, Tim Scott was there, Vivek Ramaswamy, the owner of the Jets, Woody Johnson was there, Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross, Steve Wynn. Like, these are mainstream
folks. You know what he's
saying,
right?
Yeah, it was just a lie. It was a lie that he wanted to go out on MSNBC and there's no accountability there so he could do it. But to your point, Kennedy, I think it's an important one. I saw a clip of Biden going, I'm the party of grassroots. That picture with three presidents, $100,000, the tickets went for upwards of $500,000. I'd love to know how many billionaires were at Radio City, because I've got to guess a lot of people with pocket change, $500,000 to shell out on a ticket to see Obama and Biden. Got to guess you're somewhere close to a billionaire or somewhere hundreds of millions of dollars. And Trump doubled the fundraising record, essentially. Pretty big deal.
There you go. I want to say this. So they bring out the black surrogate to talk about racism, because apparently the people that you just listed on that list, they're all black, but they're not Democrats.
What?
I have some news for Ms. Faulkner, who obviously is an ignorant clown. Last I checked, Woody Johnson is very white. He's not black.
Wynn?
I know Steve Wynn. I've spoken to Steve Wynn before. I can tell you from firsthand accounts, Steve Wynn might be blind, and I'm sorry for that, but he's certainly not black. What is Faulkner talking about? What is she talking about when she says all those people are black? Is she literally that ignorant? Did she grossly misspeak? How can you be that stupid?
And to say, well, there's all these billionaires giving a lot of money. Good. I would rather have billionaires giving money to someone that they believe in, that they can afford to give, than taking $60 from people that can't afford to pay it to buy a Bible that you can get for free on the internet.
Amen. Yeah.
My head almost exploded.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. By the way, I spoke to a friend of mine yesterday who was at this very event at Mar-a-Lago with these billionaires. And he told me right then and there that, yes, there maybe less than 1% of the people that were in that room happened to be black. So can we just stop it with this nonsense? And how can – forget about even Faulkner, who said something so dumb. Where was everybody else on the panel? Oh, no, Ms. Faulkner, yeah, Steve Wynn's not black. Woody Johnson's not black.
Yeah, because you can go on the other channel and say whatever you want, and they don't hold you accountable. But you can say something so stupid as that, and no one on the panel says anything.
Yeah, maybe I'll ask Steve Wynn. Maybe he's got a little bit of black in him. I don't know. But anyway, Ms. Faulkner, the least you could do is apologize and say, hey, I misspoke. You're an idiot, but you could at least say that, which, by the way, she hasn't done. And speaking of
I can see Saturday Night Live doing a spoof on that. that and having her say that and then putting the pictures of the people that she said.
It really is mesmerizing. By the way, for the record, I will say my first girlfriend did tell me that I was black in another life. That I don't know what that means, but she
I don't know. I don't want to go there.
Yeah, she did say that to
you
me.
You need life skills.
Yeah, I'm very white, though. I'm very white. Speaking of Woody Johnson, who, according to Ms. Faulkner, is black. Interesting. The owner of the Jets. Who has a lot of money. He's a big MAGA moron. And Mr. Johnson was at Mar-a-Lago for this big fundraising event with all these other billionaires who apparently all were black, according to Fox News. I want you to listen to what Woody Johnson says in regards to Donald Trump's character. Have a listen to this.
And I think the world will be a safer and better place. There'll be less crime. He's extremely compassionate. People don't know that. He's extremely funny. I think people are starting to appreciate his sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
And he just impressed all of us once again. And I think, yeah, the overwhelming thought was, yeah, this is just the beginning for us. Everybody in that room was ready to step up hard.
You're right on one thing, though. I'll give him credit for this. When he said Trump's compassionate, people don't know that. You're right. People don't know that because he's not compassionate. You freaking idiot. Is there any normal person with an IQ over 20 that's not completely biased and complicit like this out-of-touch moron who happens to have a lot of money, Woody Johnson, that would characterize Donald Trump as compassionate? All the people that have worked for Donald Trump, all the people that have been in his cabinet for the most part, all the people that have been underneath Donald Trump, is there anybody that have called him compassionate?
No one's ever used that word to describe
What is he talking about?
It's so silly. You know what? But here's the defense on that. Maybe he's compassionate if you're a billionaire that
yes.
can give him some money.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he's funny to a billionaire that can give you some money. Maybe that's true. But it's just frightening what people say. And you know what? If you're... You know, Trump has been doing this for so long. He's good at it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's been doing it since all his companies went bankrupt back in the day and saying how he's a billionaire when he's really not. He's going to show his taxes and he really doesn't do it. So he's really good at what he does. So he can probably, a lot of people like that can act compassionate and yeah. funny at the right time
yep.
to the right people. That doesn't mean that they
no.
are.
You know, and listen, you hit the nail on the head right there when you said, yeah, he can be compassionate or appear to fake it and be compassionate and be affable to people that are billionaires. The dinner event that he had at Mar-a-Lago, a $250,000 a plate dinner event where I guess you get to take a picture with Orange Man. And I guess Eric Trump, I heard that Eric Trump was there. Kimberly Guilfoyle was there. Don Jr.
Was Trump's wife there? Was she there?
No.
Yeah.
Well, from my understanding, Melania Trump was not there. Where's Melania? I don't know.
She's with her lawyers now saying, should we get the divorce now before the court dates or should we get it afterwards?
Can you imagine for any woman that has any sense of moral compass, any sense of clarity, any sense of respect for themselves. Can you imagine what Melania Trump is going to be going through here in the next several weeks? Particularly when Stormy Daniels takes a stand talking about how they had unprotected sex while months after Barron was born. Now, we know that Melania, it's obvious. There's some sort of contractual obligation where she makes a few appearances here and there. I would be willing to venture a guess that Melania, the last time she was even intimate with Donnie was when they conceived Barron. They don't sleep in the same bed. They're not even in the same city.
Yeah, you can see like she when she has to be there, she doesn't want to be there. You can see that. Like when I played in the NBA, in your contract, you had X amount of appearances you had to make for the team, wherever they sent you to a children's hospital or whatever.
Right.
Now, most guys like me or whatever, yeah, whatever, let's go more. Some guys were really didn't want to go and didn't want to be there. And you could tell the difference between the two. Mm-hmm. And she is the person that's at an event that doesn't want to be there.
You're so right. Body language. And by the way, that's unfortunate to hear that there were NBA players that didn't want to be involved in the community and doing. I would think most people do.
And most do.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You know, those guys are like, yeah. Man, you know what? I want to go hang out with my, you know, play golf or whatever. I don't want to, you know, there's a few of those guys, but you could pick them out. If you knew what you're looking at these events when we went to Children's Hospital or whatever, you could pick out the, sure. You know, the people like me who wanted to be there and help the parents, talk to the parents, and the guy that's, you know, smiling at a kid and then leaving as soon as he can. That's what she is.
Yeah, that's exactly who Melania Trump is. And listen, I'm not going to sit here and say nice things about Melania Trump either. She decided to marry this guy. I'm sure it was just for his lavish good looks. I'm sure that's why she married him.
Well, he's 6'2", 215,
yeah.
Right?
Something yeah, like what a beautiful body.
Yeah, and a great golf swing, I heard.
Yeah, what a wonderful golfer.
That's what people tell me.
You know, that's another thing, too. We got the Masters this week, and Jack Nicklaus, who
that's disappointing.
I am so, you know, we got a guy, Jack Nicklaus, who's arguably the best to ever live, him and Tiger, put him right up there. And here's a guy who gives fake trophies to the Orange Man, who was the biggest MAGA supporter out there. And I am so disappointed in Jack Nicklaus. You know, it's like, yeah, it's
was,
like,
it was really, because you know it's a fake trophy, right?
Of course.
You know, he didn't play anybody, and he probably took 8 million mulligans. But for that really disappointed me to see him in that situation. It really did.
Yeah, and that's Jack Nicklaus for you. And, you know, I'm at that point now, Mo, where it's like, you can't just say, well, I liked some of Donald Trump's policies. Guess what? That doesn't fly anymore with me. That doesn't fly anymore. You wanted to make that excuse in 2020, whatever, even though I disagree with you. But guess what? That doesn't fly with me now. Do I think if Donald Trump wins, it's going to be the end of our democracy? No. I'm not going to take that approach. He'll be a terrible president for 4 years. The horrible rhetoric will continue. But then 4 years down the road, we will have another election. No.
Here's a problem, though. Like, he didn't want to leave last time. Will he be able to not leave this time? And I'm getting ready to go see a movie on Saturday called Civil War with this scenario kind of happening. And, you know, I told people, yeah. You know, that he learned what he can and can't do last time. And now he's going to have the people in place now, Pelo guy and all that, all those people that, you know, there's going to be decisions had to be made by generals and people up on the staff at the point of, you know, I don't want to leave. I'm not leaving. I want to serve four more years.
It's a good point. I get what you're saying. I'm just not one of the, do I think that Donald Trump is a threat to our democracy? Absolutely. Do I think it'll be the end of our democracy? Probably not. I'm not going to take that approach, but I will say this, and I've been pretty clear on this. I don't want to see another 4 years of this guy. I've just had it. I've had it with him, and I've had it with so many of his supporters. I've had it with so many of his supporters that are so complicit, and all they want to talk about are the gender ideology issues and illegals, and I've just had it with them, the culture wars. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. I'm very disappointed in John Bolton. I'm not surprised that Fox News and idiots like Faulkner, who obviously probably don't even know who Woody Johnson is and probably don't even know who Steve Wynn is, characterizing them as black.
That's so ridiculous.
These are the people that Fox News hires. I mean, it's just unbelievable. At a minimum, say, oh, you know, I misspoke. Or at a minimum, have somebody pass them a note that say, hey, these guys aren't black, you know? But it's really mesmerizing that a guy like a Woody Johnson, and not surprising, a billionaire, because that's why these billionaires are there, because they know it's money in their pocket. If they donate $500,000, they know they're going to make 50-fold back. If they donate $5 million, they're going to make money back on that investment. That's what the way they look at it. If Trump wins, they win, because they're going to save hundreds of millions of dollars. And that's really what it comes down to. Do you see him catering to middle-class people? Sure, he'll go into a fast food restaurant like Chick-fil-A and buy 30 milkshakes and some chicken sandwiches for people, and then all of a sudden some want to make him out to be a hero for doing so. But I have to believe that when people hit the voter ballot boxes in November, yeah, there are going to be those billionaires that are going to vote for Donald Trump. Yes, there are going to be those right-wing zealots that are going to vote, the evangelicals that are going to vote for Trump. Yes, there are going to be those staunch Republicans that are going to vote for Trump. But there's going to be too many Americans that are not billionaires, too many Americans that are in the middle or reasonable Republicans that will not be voting for Donald Trump in November. I still believe that.
Here's what we're going to do, Brian. We're going to have a blue hat that says anybody but Trump on it. And then we're going to make some flags and drive around with flags that say Trump on it. And we're going to turn this thing around. I'm telling you.
Wouldn't you call that a cult?
Maybe. Probably.
Maybe. Mr. Paul McCaskey, always a pleasure having you in studio.
Absolutely, man.
And, you know, it's fun. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love talking basketball and hoops with you. We'll have to do that next week because sure. The NBA playoffs are right around the corner.
My guy Giannis got hurt.
Yeah, well, I have a bet with Mo, my Celtics versus his Bucks, and it ain't looking good for Mr.
Not anymore. It's not.
Or as John DiDomenico, the Trump impersonator, said, Paul McCaskey.
I love that name.
Yes, I love that name, Paul McCaskey. Anyway, Mo, good to see you. Thank you so much for coming in.
All right, brother.
And we have Eva Chase, who's going to be joining us next segment. Plenty of stuff to get to with her. As an open trans woman, Trans Day of Visibility, there are still Republicans that are so upset that Trans Day of Visibility landed on Easter. I'm going to talk to her about that and many other topics, and we will take your phone calls on the other side. I know we have some people patiently waiting on hold. I promise you I will get to your calls on the other side, and we will do that in just a few minutes when Eva Chase joins us in studio. Take a break. Be back right after this. It's Pushing the Limits right here on KSHP.
My name is Hunter Kane, and I'm talking with you for a call to action for our veterans in Clark County. Who is Hunter Kane? Well, I'm a decorated combat veteran, veteran community leader, and candidate for Clark County Commission. You know, no veteran has served on the commission in nearly 30 years, which is why our veteran homelessness, unemployment, and suicide rates are out of control. So here's the call to action. June 11th, vote veteran, vote Kane for Clark County. Let's rally behind someone who's been in the trenches, who knows the sacrifices, and who's committed to making a real difference. Join the campaign by searching Elect Hunter Kane on social media or go to www.electhunterkane.com.
Did you know that 99% of air conditioning issues start with airflow issues? Well, guess what? Pioneer Air has your back. They've been operating for 20 years in the industry within the Las Vegas area. Large enough to handle all your air conditioning and heating needs, but small enough to know your first name. Pioneer Air focuses on preventative care, much like wellness checks for humans. They believe in wellness checks for air conditioning and heating systems to extend the life of the system you own. So what are you waiting for? Schedule your wellness check with Pioneer Air today. The number to call is 702-831-4840. Here's the best news. Mention this ad and you'll receive 10% off. Call Pioneer Air today. 702-831-4840. That number again, 702-831-4840.
Buying or selling a home is a huge life event that requires guidance from an expert in the industry and community. My name is Blake Wynn. You may recognize my name as my grandfather was the best governor the state of Nevada has ever had. Growing up in Las Vegas, I've come to know this community intricately. Now, I am raising a family here as well. So I understand all the issues impacting our home and quality of life. As the top realtor for the number one real estate team at Keller Williams, you can have confidence in my experience, knowledge, and track record. When it comes to buying, selling, or investing in real estate, choose a name you can trust and someone who understands the community you call home. Call Blake Wynn today and experience the difference of a trusted expert. 702-540-3311.
Ice hockey in the desert. Jake Kelb's Hockey Foundation and the Las Vegas Ice Warriors, founded by Gina Yousafzai 8 years ago, made it possible for families who can't afford the equipment and fees. Donate today at www.hockeyforkids.org and help us continue making a difference. Join us in supporting Jake Kelb's Hockey Foundation and the Las Vegas Ice Warriors, where every kid gets a shot at the starting line. Just a reminder, our website is www.hockeyforkids.org.
Residents of Las Vegas, Ward 5, are you ready for a brighter future? I would like to introduce myself, Dr. Erica Smith, your people's choice for city council. With a vision for progress and the fortitude to make it happen, I am committed to moving us forward. I am not just a candidate. I am a fighter for you. With myself on the city council, you can expect a real change and a community that thrives. Vote for Dr. Erica Smith, because together we're building a better tomorrow. To learn more about me and my campaign, go to www.ericaforlasvegas.com, paid for by the Vote Dr. Smith Committee.
Voters want safe gun reform, ban military assault weapons, including AR-15s, have universal background checks, and red flag laws. I am Eva Chase, a candidate for Nevada State Assembly District 16, U.S. Air Force veteran, college graduate, progressive independent candidate, fully transitioned transgender woman, former Lieutenant Governor candidate for Nevada in 2022, where I received 7,212 votes in the Democratic primary, Follow me on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok. Donate to my campaign bot fund account and stay progressive.
Hey, everybody. Are you struggling to find a pizza place that reminds you of Brooklyn? That true blue New York style pie? Well, worry no more. Stallone's Italian Eatery Pizza is a knockout. We're located at 467 East Silverado Ranch Boulevard, just off of Premier Road, half a mile east of South Point Casino, just minutes from the Las Vegas Strip. Come by and grab a slice of pie. Plus, check out our Brooklyn-inspired Italian cuisine. Our sandwiches are super hero, that is, because why be a sub when you can be a hero? Stallone's Italian Eatery is here to serve you phenomenal food, Vegas. Forget about it.
Welcome back. It is Pushing the Limits on, if you know, I almost forgot what day it was today, on a Thursday. Thank you so much for joining us. Hey, if you like what I do, if you like the show, subscribe to my YouTube page, at PTL Radio Show. If you want to learn a little bit more about me, if you'd like me to speak at one of your events, check out my website, ptlradio.com, a fairly new website. I'm proud of it. And check that out. And, well, we've been talking about a lot today. Today, interesting day in sports and news. O.J. Simpson passing away at 76, which I clearly gave my opinions on that. We've got the Masters. I'm a big golf fan, so my eyes are going to be glued to the television watching the Masters all week. Joining us in studio to talk a little news, a little politics, maybe even a little sports. She is an openly transgender woman who is running for office here in Las Vegas. She ran in 2022, got over 7,000 votes, which I think is quite an accomplishment when it's your first time out on the campaign trail. And Eva Chase joining us in studio right now. Eva, thank you so much for being here. How are you?
Hi, Brian. Thank you for having me today.
Of course. Very busy day today, right?
Yes.
You know, a lot going on in the world from a news perspective, from a sports perspective. I do want to ask you about this because it was something that I talked about, and a lot of people are still talking about it, which is Trans Day of Visibility,
mm-hmm.
which many people on the far right either don't know, they're not educated, they don't understand, but they want to lash out because it landed on Easter. And as you know, this is a day that has landed on March 31st for the last 15 years. So Joe Biden did what any decent human being would do and say, hey, let's recognize Trans Day of Visibility, which any normal human being would have no problem with. But those on the far right said, oh my God, you're ruining our Easter Sunday. How dare you take this sacred day? And first of all, it doesn't affect your Easter in any way. I haven't seen any stories of how an Easter Sunday dinner or a gathering or whatever you do, going to church, was greatly negatively affected because it happened to be Trans Day of Visibility. So my question to you is, what do you make of it? You've seen it, the hatred, the bigotry, and right-wingers out there claiming that Joe Biden took their Easter away because of Trans Day of Visibility.
I think they are out to lunch on this one because it had nothing to do with them going to an Easter service and then going over and having an Easter dinner and all that. I was at the Trans Day of Visibility at the Southern Nevada, the Trans Alliance
mm-hmm.
area.
Yep.
And I was invited to be one of the featured speakers. I did a 10-minute speech. And during that speech, I said this. I am Eva Olivia Chase, a fully transitioned trans woman. I'm very proud of it. But then I looked at the audience and I said, I am more proud of you. Because you are everybody here. You are being your true, authentic self. Be brave, follow your convictions, and be strong. Mm. And then I went into my platform and what I was going to talk about. But I wanted to make sure it wasn't about me.
Mm-hmm.
It was about all those brave people
right.
that were there. And they were who they truly are. So if people on the right don't want to understand us, we don't have the problem. They do.
I agree. I think that's well said. and I get frustrated with it, as you know, with anybody who's bigoted in nature. Mm-hmm. So I hear somebody like a Candace Owens, for example, mm-hmm. who I think is despicable because I think she spreads her bigotry and her hatred and her anti-Semitism and all this stuff so that she could sell her books and make money. And I would call anybody despicable who does that. Candace Owens, in my opinion, is an opportunist. And she makes this claim all the time, Eva, and it pisses me off. And I want you to respond to it, and then I'll give you my reaction. I think we'll have very similar responses. But she says, why is it are all these transgenders out there now in 2024? Why is it all these gay people are out there now? And I know the two and two don't go hand in hand, but she makes that claim as well. Why are all these transgenders out there now or in the last couple of years? Now, I want to respond to that, but I want you to respond to it first. When she makes what I consider a really dumb comment like that, what do you say to that?
Well, she's not very informed because if you go back in the history of mankind, even go back to the Roman days, Roman Empire, you had trans people in the Roman Empire, and you had trans people back in the Middle Ages. Maybe they just, because of the society at the time, weren't able to fully express who they were. But it's been here since the dawn of time.
Right.
She needs to wake up, smell the coffee. This is 2024, and get with the program.
I agree with you. And you have to be a certain type of ignorance, certain type of dumb, for lack of a better term. There are less Candace Owens out there on the world today than there were 10 years ago, mm-hmm. 20 years ago, and 20, 30 years ago. And I don't speak for you, but I feel like, and tell me if you disagree, a lot of people like yourself are maybe not as comfortable being who you want to be. Mm-hmm. It could be transgender. It could be gay. Could be bi, whatever. Maybe even 10 years ago, it wasn't as socially accepted as it is now. Now, you still have the bigoted morons out there like the Candace Owens and the Charlie Kirks and the Matt Walshes, who, in my opinion, are just absolutely horrendous human beings. You're still going to have those people, right? But there's not as many of those people in society, in my opinion, today. It's more socially accepted. So, if you're gay or if you're transgender, what does that mean? It means that people like you are going to be more comfortable. You're not going to be, even though sadly, some people are still going to judge you. We can't end that. But less people are going to judge you, and it's more socially accepted. How is it possible that Candace Owens does, she has to know that. How does she not know that? How does a Matt Walsh not know that? These people that attack people like you, how do they not know that? There's less people like them now, and that's why people like you are able to be who you are. Do they not know that, or are they just ignoring it because they just want to spread their bigotry and get their clicks?
They are, as you say, they're opportunists, and they don't want to face the truth, but they're taking a social issue, and they're capitalizing on it. If you go back, go back to the early 70s, real quickly, when Charles Manson and his family did those murders, mm-hmm. he was sentenced to prison. Mm-hmm. Not long after that, California abolished the death penalty. Now, normally, in a heinous crime like that, Charlie Manson and Susan Atkins and all the other ones, Tex Watson, they wouldn't have lasted more than about 2, 3, 4 years. They would have been part of the death penalty. But it was changed because of someone's perception of what should and should not, is what's not acceptable when it isn't acceptable. So now if you go back to modern time now, it's acceptable to be out in public, to be who you truly are.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas when you mentioned 1978, when I was a senior in high school, if I had come out in 1978, can you imagine the harassment I would have received?
It's gotten better, but it's still out there.
Yes,
it's still out there, and there are still our idiots out there like Candace Owens, who, yes, I think is a complete idiot. Not that I think she's dumb. She knows. She knows what I said. She knows what you said. She only spreads this bigotry because she wants to make it look like all these people are being indoctrinated and it's being forced on people. And she says things like that because the bigots out there like it and they buy her books and they give her TV appearances. And it's really despicable. It's really sad. I know we have some people waiting on hold. Yeah. So why don't I get to the phone calls, Eva? 702-221-7283. And again, the number is 702-221-7283. Let's start off with Susan. Hi, Susan.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
Good. I have a question for Eva, and it's a serious question. I was wondering, my child is non-binary, and I don't understand truly what that means, and I was wondering if you could explain it to me.
Susan, non-binary means you aren't really a guy or a girl. You're just sort of you. And
okay.
That means that you, well, in terms of liking people, maybe you like both guys and girls, but you don't identify either. You don't identify as a woman or a man. You're just a human being and you're you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. How is that different from androgynous?
I think I have heard that term, but I'm going to be blatantly honest with you. I am not quite sure about that particular term.
Mm-hmm.
That term means neither male nor female.
Well, that would be about the same because you're binary.
Okay.
You don't identify as a man or a woman. Thank you for that question. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Susan.
You betcha. Also, right. I wanted to say that I think that the robocalls are criminal because they're disseminating misinformation and disinformation.
Agree. This is how they get money. This is how they're getting money from these dopes out there, and that's what they are.
Yeah.
These dopes who still think that the 2020 election was stolen. That's what they are. You know, I had a conversation, ladies, with a guy yesterday, and he said, oh, come on, there's disinformation. They listen to their news, and you listen to yours. I said, no, they're not. There's right and there's wrong. The earth is not flat, and Donald Trump did not win the 2020 election. Just because somebody on their right-wing, idiotic, whatever they get their information from, says it was stolen, I get my information from fact-based people, from the electorate, from secretaries of state. Cisco Aguilar has been on this show before, the Secretary of State here in Nevada. That's where I get my information when it comes to elections, and it's not the same.
Yeah.
So, this is exactly what the Republican Party is running their platform on because they want your money. Okay? They're not getting mine. They're not getting yours, but they run it on drag queens are – the sky is falling with drag queen readings, right? Indoctrinating our kids, right? They'll talk about that. Joe Biden's in the basement. Everything is his fault. Gas prices, inflation. This is what they do. Scare tactics. And dead people are going to be voting for Joe Biden. I mean, this is how they're trying to get
That's
money from these
one.
People. Yeah.
That's another one. The mail-in ballots.
Yeah.
Washington State has had mail-in ballots forever. I'm calling from Spokane, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had mail-in ballots forever, and there's never been an issue.
Nope,
never.
Only when a Republican loses there must be an issue, Susan. Put two and two together there, and we can figure out what's going on. Susan, I do appreciate hearing from you. Thank you for your call. Thank you.
You betcha.
In Spokane, Washington, home of the Gonzaga Bulldogs, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
702, good basketball team, good coach,
Made
Mark Few.
Made the Elite Eight this year.
Yes, Mark Few, great coach.
Yes,
702. Adam Morrison, one of my favorite college players of all time. 702-221-7283. Let's go to Kava. Hi, Kava.
Hey, how are you guys today?
Good.
Hi, Kava.
Hello. How are you doing today?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. So I have a question for both of you guys. It's unrelated, but I want to ask one question first. Then we'll get to the politics. Okay, first question. Brian, Royals better than the Astros?
Come again?
Royals are better than the Astros, yes or no?
Well, I'll just say yes because the Astros are a bunch of cheaters. So you could have named a minor league team, and I'd say they're better than the Astros because they're with all due respect to Astro fans out there, they're a bunch of cheaters, and there'll always be an asterisk with that World Series championship.
Fact. Okay, so no politics. I agree with what Eva was saying. Maggots only care about themselves. They've never cared about anybody but themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And because Trump has decided that because he thinks he's better than everyone else, that he can allow his little racist little team of ignorant fools be out and proud about being these little maggots that they are. And you know what? I'm LGBTQIA+, too. And you know what I say to them? You can suck it, MAGA. Cry harder. We do not care. We don't. We genuinely don't.
Well, I'll tell you, like I said, I'm always going to have concern and I'm always going to worry. I don't think this is going to be a landslide victory for either candidate, Trump or Joe Biden. I think it's going to be very close. I am mesmerized every day when I was at a Republican event yesterday, and I was there with a friend who's running for office, who's a Republican, very nice lady. There were a lot of nice people in this room. There were a few crazies, but there were a lot of nice people there. And I say to myself, these people are voting for Donald Trump. And this is what I struggle with every day. How can you be a good human being and an educated person? I get it.
I get it if
you don't want to vote for Joe Biden. Even though I disagree with it, I get it. If you're a staunch Republican, you don't like Joe Biden's policies, you don't like what he stands for, fine. I'm not going to – even though I disagree with it, I understand. What I don't understand is how could you support this guy? How could you hate Joe Biden that much that you would
– Because the orange daddy told them to.
You can throw away –
The orange daddy told them to hate everybody.
You can throw away whatever moral compass you claim you have and vote for a liable sexual abuser and a man who has treated – women with such disrespect over the years, the cheating, lying.
Are you surprised by how MAGA acts? I mean, let's be real. We all know MAGA's going to act like this at some point or another.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it doesn't surprise me, really. I mean, like you said, they disrespect women. They go after the minorities. They go after the LGBTQIA+ community.
Right.
These morons have no moral compass. And they're like the Joker. They don't care about anything.
And if they do claim, and by the way, Cobb, I appreciate your call. Thank you so much.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you. If they do claim they have a moral compass, then explain to me why you would support somebody who does not. This isn't up for debate. Just because the guy walks into a Chick-fil-A yesterday and buys 30 milkshakes, he's played out to be some sort of hero by some people. He's a draft dodger. He's somebody that's been sued civilly thousands of times. Him and his father didn't want black people living on their properties. We know what he said about women. You know what he said about people of color, about Jewish people, people of the Jewish faith. I don't understand it. This was going through my head yesterday. These are decent human beings that I'm talking to. I think there were a lot of decent people at this event that I went to yesterday. They were very respectful to me. They knew who I was, but we're glad to see you here, to hear maybe hear a different point of view. They were very nice to me. But so many of these people are voting for Trump. And if it's about policy, then why aren't you at least willing to call out Trump for who he is? I don't understand it. Eva, I'm not being facetious. I'm mesmerized. I'm confused. I'm just blown away that there are so many people in this country, whether it's 30% or 40%, whatever, that want a man running the country who sells $60 Bibles, who sells $400 sneakers, who has unprotected sex with a porn star 2 months after his child is born, who's a liable sexual abuser, who calls our brave men and women in uniform suckers and losers. You served, right? Right? You served this country. How could you explain someone like you, who's a hero, and I love respect your service, as I would say for anybody, Democrat, Republican, whoever you are, support a man who thinks you're a sucker and a loser because you served this country and you risked your life? I don't understand it. Help me make sense of this. It's the question I ask you. I ask all sorts of people every day. And I never really, truly understand. And I know you're not one of those people. I know you don't speak for them, but I don't. Eva, I just don't understand it. I guess that's what I'm trying. I don't understand. How could you make sense of it? I don't understand it.
Well,
It's very simple. If you go back in years past, it was about policy.
Right.
And it was about a candidate, whether it was a Democrat or Republican, was running on something that would benefit the individual when they voted. People, when they vote, they don't look at the whole enchilada. They look at just a small piece. How do I benefit if I vote for this person?
Right.
It could be based on income. It could be based on gender. It could be based on social status. And you're willing to overlook a person's personality, mm-hmm. and their flaws and their faults and their criminal activity to vote for them.
Mm.
And it comes down, there's one area in particular why some of these good people were probably going to vote for him, because they probably are against abortion. And after that ruling in Arizona that took it all the way back to 1864 by the Arizona Supreme Court, we here in Nevada, we better watch ourselves, because we're going to have a lot of women coming from Arizona needing abortions coming to our state. That's why when I get to the state assembly this year, I am going to push to codify abortion in our state constitution. It's not in there.
Mm-hmm.
Legislatively speaking, it's been there since 1990, but it's not been codified. You know, they had the votes in Ohio, Kentucky, Kansas, and they all passed.
Yeah.
And they're going to have a vote in Florida requiring a 60% threshold. And I bet it passes in Florida. So, we here in Nevada, we have to codify abortion as part of health care for women, because abortion is part of health care for women.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one issue that a lot of Republicans hide behind, and they got to have, so they overlook all the warts on the frog named Donald Trump.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's probably well said. And I'm just very disappointed. I'm very disappointed that there are so many people in this country that will still be voting for Donald Trump. It is worrisome. I still think Joe Biden's going to come away with the win in the end, at least I hope. Before we go, I want to give you an opportunity to give out the information so people could learn a little bit more about you, donate to your campaign. How do they go about doing that, Eva?
You can find me on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, Ballotpedia, Blue Voter Guide, this wonderful radio station, KSHP. Follow this show, Pushing the Limits. You'll hear my commercials here. And you can follow me when I make public events. Mm-hmm. Tonight I will be at The Bent Pub or Grill and Pub on Maryland with the Lambda LGBTQ Business Community Association. It's a social mixer. So if you don't have any plans, RSVP, the Lambda Business Association, and then you can come tonight, and I'd love to meet you and talk to you about my campaign.
That sounds like a really nice event. I hope people come out, and I'm glad you're doing that. That sounds great, and I appreciate you being here. I know you'll be back with us very soon, and thank you so much for coming in, Eva. Good to see you. Big announcement. The former White House press secretary who worked for Donald Trump for less than 2 weeks, Anthony Scaramucci, is going to be joining us on the show tomorrow, so that's going to be a lot of fun. I love the Mooch. He's a friend.
Oh, the Mooch.
Yeah, I'm happy to call him a friend, and he's going to be joining us on the show tomorrow. I don't think he's going to have a lot of nice things to say about Donald Trump, which is music to my ears, by the way. Thank you for being here, Eva. Also, my thanks to the big man, Paul McKeskey, for joining us in studio as well. I'm also going to get some live life coaching live on the air tomorrow, so that's going to be really interesting. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Appreciate you. Join my YouTube page, at PTL Radio Show, on YouTube, at PTL Radio Show, and my website, PTLRadio.com. We'll see you tomorrow.